Yeah, let's get a little bit more specific about Jesus. So the book of John, we're going to go to the book of John, John 1, 1 through 18. We're going to read the whole thing. So if you've got your Bible and you want to get that ready, you can do that while I tell you a little bit about the book of John for some context. So the book of John was written by John the Apostle. The one whom Jesus loved is referred to by John in the book that he wrote. we're all God's favorites, right? So scholars believe the book was written prior to John being exiled to the island of Patmos. His purpose was to reveal Jesus to all people. So this is one of the gospels that was written for the Jews and the Gentiles and anybody else that might hear, so that they would believe in Jesus and have eternal life. That was John's purpose in writing the book. He wanted people to believe and to have eternal life. So John knew Jesus intimately, being an apostle. He traveled with Jesus for 3 years through ministry, saw all the miracles, and it is believed that he was, even though Jesus had 12 disciples, that he was in the inner circle. There's three apostles that were in the inner circle, so he would have been like Jesus' bestie, if you will. What's interesting to me is how he describes his friend in John. It's unlike how I would describe my best friend. It's so much higher than that, because John's purpose wasn't to describe what Jesus was to him personally as a friend, but what Jesus is to all of us as our Lord and Savior, in the divine, fully human, and fully God. So it's best just to read the scriptures now so you can see what John says, because this is one of those sermons where you get the scriptures from God, and then you're like, what am I going to add to this? Because John wrote it so eloquently. God did give me some stuff, so I'll try to add to it. But first, let's read the scriptures, John 1, 1 through 18. That should be the foundation, right? There's a whole other sermon in that. So in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." What a description of Jesus Christ. Unfailing love and forgiveness. Brought light to everyone. Can never be extinguished. Gave life to everything God created. Existing from the beginning. described as the Word that was with God and already existed. So what does that mean? Let's dive into the Word, because that's a pretty big thing here. In the beginning, the Word, and if you're looking in your Bible, the Word is capitalized. The Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then you skip to 14, so the Word became human. So see, Jesus and the Word, they're together. It's not like Word that, what's that Word say? It's a different Word. So to understand what this Word is, so we can understand Jesus a little bit more as we endeavor to discover Jesus, we're going to look to the Greek word, logos. So logos has kind of two theories to it. There's the human person, which is the rationality in the human mind seeking to understand universal intelligence and harmony. And two, universal intelligence, the universal force governing and revealing through the cosmos to humankind. So some pretty big stuff there, right? So there's a quote from PBS.org that I'll read to understand this a little bit better, and there's a whole big thing out there, a lot of big things out there to describe this further. But a principle originating in classical Greek thought, which refers to a universal divine reason immanent in nature yet transcending all oppositions and imperfections in the cosmos and humanity, an eternal and unchanging truth present from the time of creation, available to every individual who sees it. A unifying and liberating revelatory force which recognizes the human with the which reconciles the human with the divine, manifested in the world as an act of God's love in the form of Christ. I couldn't say anything different than that, so I said the quote. But look at Jesus, how they describe it in this article. A unifying and liberating revelatory force which reconciles the human with the divine, manifested in the world as an act of God's love in the form of Christ. The Word, the light, unfailing love and forgiveness, Jesus. We're halfway through Lent. In 19 days, we're going to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, to bring the human and the divine together, to bridge that gap. Jesus gave his life in a very horrific way, hanging on a cross. And in 21 days, we will celebrate Jesus' resurrection from death, because you cannot extinguish the light. You cannot extinguish the light. So if God, Jesus is the light, ain't nothing going to cover that light up. So we're halfway through Lent, and we've challenged ourselves in this church through Lent to build your relationship with God, to build your relationship with Jesus. And why is that? Because we need to build our faith and confidence in Jesus. To put it in terms maybe we could kind of understand, our phones. I'll age myself a little bit, some of these people in the room will be like, I'm still a child, and I am. We all are in certain ways. But I remember when the cell phone first came out. I remember when the cell phone first came out, and people were a little leery about this new technology. Like, not even when we had the flip phones, like when it was that massive box, and you had the antenna and the cord, and you had to figure out how it went in your car, and then how it was going to sit out, and then it had that huge magnet that was on the top of the car. And then it was like, don't turn it on unless you need it. But if you needed it, it took like 5 minutes for the thing to turn on and like turn on and find the signal. Our confidence in cell phones wasn't that great when they first came out, right? Like, it was there. And then when it got, the technology expanded, then you got to carry it on your person. And you got to text, you know, you got to get to see ABC. And it was like, I could still send a text, but it's like taking me forever. Our confidence started to grow, but we still, a lot of us still kept landlines. For the younger kids, that's the phone that was actually connected to the wall and it had a cord. And when I grew up, we had an extender on ours, and man, you better not get caught up in the cord when mom was talking on the phone or you were going to be in trouble because she's trying to do stuff and she's on the phone. For a long time, people kept landlines and their cell phones. Our confidence started increasing, but it wasn't quite where you were, let's get rid of the landline. How many people, show of hands, have a landline in their home now? Okay, we got a handful. There's some. But there's less people with landlines than there are that don't have landlines because we're more confident on our cell phones. The technology has increased. You can find anything on that thing. Be it true or not, don't trust everything on you see online. But you can find, our confidence has grown over the decades because it's become more prevalent and we've used it more and it's become part of our daily life. It was a journey to get there from 1990-something to 2023. It's a journey. We had to build our faith and confidence in the technology of cell phones to where we are so dependent on them now. They're usually not without an arm's length, right? That's what it is with building any relationship or any faith and confidence in anything, right? So like to build that faith and confidence in Jesus, it's a journey. And the more you put into that relationship, the more you're going to get out, just like with our cell phones. The more we put into using that technology, the more we become comfortable with it and we're able to use it. How frustrating is it when you get an upgrade and your phone's a little bit different? Like, oh, the upgrade, right? But then you get used to it and it's fine. You become confident in the buttons that changed around or the icon that now looks a little different because we use it. When we're in relationship, you have to be in that relationship. It's a journey for that relationship. And for us to realize and feel Jesus as John described, you can't just see Jesus on Sunday morning from 10 to 11 and expect that you're going to have the confidence of never having Jesus without more than an arm's length away. You need more of Jesus. So I ask a rhetorical question. We don't have time to sit around today, and it's pretty deep, but where's your relationship with Jesus? Are you living in the light that was described by John? Do you believe or feel unified with God, the divine? As we read about the word, Jesus is to unify us with the divine. Do you understand God's love for you is unfailing? That God's forgiveness for you is unfailing? And I'll add, it's not compartmentalized. There's not certain things that Jesus will love you unconditionally for and forgive you unconditionally for. It's the whole kit and caboodle. If you struggle in your relationship with Jesus, with God, what needs to happen in your life for you to gain that faith and confidence? And it's going to be a little different for all of us because we're all going to be on that path a little bit different. But that's a question to ask yourself. If you're struggling with any of those questions, what needs to happen? I was skipping around a little bit, and I also want to let people know that God's okay with where you are. God meets us where we are. Jesus meets us where we are. One of the greatest things that I love about Jesus' ministry is he was always on his way to do something. One of my favorite things. And Jesus was on his way, blah, blah, blah. But so-and-so. And then he stops everything. He heals the woman that was bleeding for years. He pulls Zacchaeus out of a tree. He stops. He meets you where you are. I'm surprised Jesus didn't go up the tree. And there's things like that everywhere. It was pretty awesome. Just flipping through John, do you need to see, the disciples needed to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. John 20, 30, 31. He showed him the pain of the nails in his hands, the side. They didn't believe when people told them that he's raised. They needed to see. Sometimes we need to see. That's okay. Jesus didn't say, well, now that, well, you had to see me, but now you lost me. No, he said, here, let me show you. Jesus will show up and show you. Some people need healing, right? Like some of us, we've had those scars. In John 9, there's a blind man. Jesus put mud on his eyes. He could see. He was born blind. They said that's because you're a sinner from birth. But Jesus put mud on his eyes. He could see. The Pharisees were appalled by this. But then at the end of the story, at the end of chapter 9, Jesus says, do you believe? And he said, yes. But he was blinded until Jesus healed. Do you have blind spots? Jesus can heal that. Do you need to feel Jesus? Thomas did. Poor Thomas. He gets the label as the doubter. Poor guy. He just needed to feel Jesus. There's times where we just need to feel Jesus, right? So in John 20, 26 through 29, Jesus grabs his hand and said, feels my wound. Put your hand in my side. He does say, blessed be the one that can believe without seeing. But he still met Thomas where Thomas was. And it was a teaching opportunity because Thomas had a journey. He was the furthest. He went the furthest of all the disciples. He went out in like the India area. Doubting Thomas, going the furthest of all the disciples. Because that lesson. Because Jesus met him where he was. He taught him something and then he grew and went off. So it's okay to be where you are. Do you need to be forgiven? The adulterous woman needed to be forgiven. And so did everybody else in that crowd. In John 8, 1 through 11, they pull this lady from wherever. They put her in front of a crowd and they're going to stone her. And Jesus steps up and says, anybody without sin, throw the first stone. Everybody walked away. And then Jesus forgave that woman and told her to sin no more. Again, meets you where you are, teaches you a lesson. Whatever you need, and those are just four examples. There's a gazillion in this Bible. Whatever you need to build your faith and confidence in Jesus, God will provide you. I promise you that. I can't promise you a time. God's timing is just different, right? Like you could try. You could try all you want. It's just going to be frustrating. You could try to give God deadlines on your prayers and your things. But that's also building faith and confidence, right? It's in that waiting. It's within that waiting. Building faith and confidence in Jesus, building a relationship with Jesus, is not a one and done activity. It's a journey. And once you hit one milestone of your journey, you're going to understand that you're just getting started. It could be milestone 100, and you're going to realize you're just getting started. It's not always easy waiting on God. But I'll tell you, it's always worthwhile. Always. Living in the light is worthwhile. It might sometimes seem easier to live in darkness and not to bring some of that stuff to light for God to heal, to forgive, to love you through it. But it is so worth it. Church, we are given this gift of Jesus freely from God. You don't need to do a thing. The Savior, this unfailing love and forgiveness, we just have to grab it and believe it. But you will have a better life if you foster your faith and confidence in Jesus and you build that relationship. It's not that there won't be trials. There's nothing magical that's going to happen. It's not the world is going to be perfect because you believe in Jesus. God doesn't ever promise that. All 12 of the disciples had very rough demises. They all had trials and struggles. John, shortly after this, he's going to be sent to an island. And it's not a nice Caribbean island that we dream of to go on vacation. It was desolate. It was hard living. But he got through it because he had God. I really encourage you to sit and ask yourself some of these questions. Where is your relationship with Jesus? Are you living in the light? Do you feel unified with God? If you don't, what needs to happen? I'll tell you, church, this church is here for you. We will pray with you. We will be the ear for you. Sometimes we get the opportunity to provide physical needs. It is worthwhile going on the journey. I know sometimes there's hesitation and there's struggle with our roadblocks. And when we build up our little walls, we like our little walls, don't we? But you start taking brick by brick. For those struggling, I just feel I need to reiterate it as many times as I need. It's okay. It's a journey. And it's going to be a little painful at times. But it's going to be worth it. And Jesus' light is going to shine in you, through you. And you'll get to be the opportunity to be a light for somebody else. That's a really cool thing. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could never, ever extinguish it. Amen.